Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in our house of worship and also to have you worship with us online. What are you thankful for this morning? Now, there are things that we may not be thankful for, but what are you thankful for? Is it your health, your job situation, your family, the cooler weather, the ability to worship in person or online? How about the fact that God's mercies are fresh and new yet again today? What His mercies look like remains our focus this morning, as again we have multiple powerful reminders of it. So let us give thanks for God's amazing grace and celebrate His mercies new. Our worship service is printed out for us in the bulletin, including the hymns. If you're worshiping with us online, you can find that bulletin copy on the email that was sent out to you. If you're on our email list, if you're not on that list, please contact the church office to get on that list. Or you can also find it on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. May God bless us in our worship of Him as we celebrate His mercies new, turning our attention to our opening hymn, "By Grace I'm Saved." Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. O God, protector of all the faithful, you alone make strong, you alone make holy. Show us your mercy and forgive our sins day by day. Guide us through our earthly lives, that we do not lose the things that you have prepared for us in heaven.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Our first lesson for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the book of Exodus, the third chapter, where we have the reminder of the fact that God does not change. And because of that, He is the constant that we need for this life as we deal with the impacts of sin in our world. Indeed, let us give thanks to God for His grace. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" The word of the Lord. This is where we tell the Apostle Paul to move over when he makes the claim that he is the chief of sinners. For you and I, we can wrestle him for that title. Again, thank God for his grace, this reminder from 1 Timothy 1. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And read with me.
Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Stand for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Are you a healthy person, spiritually speaking? By the grace of God, you are. So again, let us give thanks to God for this status that he has given to us, and let us take this cure that he has given to us and pass it on to others. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day, "Let Me Be Yours Forever."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus our attention back on the words recorded down in Exodus chapter 3, where we hear, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people, and I am concerned about their suffering." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace has brought you to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. What strange sights or sights have you come about in your lifetime? Perhaps in your own backyard or in your neighborhood? Or maybe when you were on vacation, maybe you stopped at that place called the mystery spot where the marble rolls up instead of down. Maybe it was when you were taking a stroll through Old Sack. Moses records a strange sighting that he witnessed. A sighting that made a big impression on him and impacted the way his life would go from that moment on. Remember, Moses had run away from Egypt. He was afraid for his own life. He had made an attempt to rescue who he knew were his ancestors, the children of Israel. But that did not go the way he had hoped it would go. And when word got out that he was the one who had killed an Egyptian, well, then he took off. But God used that and other aspects of Moses' life in the meantime for such a time as this and what was yet to come. And so when the time was right according to God's time, Moses, now tending the flock of his father-in-law, comes across this strange sight. A bush in the middle of nowhere, on fire, but not being consumed. What would you do if you came across such a bush? Would you try to take a picture of it with your phone? Would you run away going, "What in the world is this? We're being invaded." Would you come closer? Well, Moses investigated further. And as he got closer, what did he hear? "Moses, Moses." Whoa. That got his attention again. "Moses, those sandals on your feet, take them off. This is holy ground." Not because of the ground itself, but because of whose presence was there before Moses. So God got Moses' attention in a strange way, but effective. And then he took his attention off the bush and put his attention on the words that the Lord had for him. Because the Lord God had a rescue mission in mind for Moses. Moses himself would not be the rescuer. God would be the rescuer, but he would use Moses to carry it out. "Moses, you wanted to rescue your people Israel, but that was not the time nor the way. Now is the time, and this will be the way." Now, was Moses anxious and ready to take on this way that the Lord had put before him? Moses comes up with excuses, right? "Well, Lord, they're not going to believe me. I got run out of town. I left. I mean, word got out about me. I'm damaged goods." And the Lord said, "Moses, excuses are not going to work. You need to do this. Well, Lord, they're not going to believe me. If I tell them I saw some bush burning up in the desert and it was not being consumed, they're going to go, Moses, what are you on? And then I say, the Lord talked to me and he sent me here. Yeah, right, Moses. You got to get off that stuff. It's messing you up. The Lord told Moses what to say so that the people would know. Tell them the I Am sent you. They would know who that was. The covenant God. The God of free and faithful grace. The independent God who was not created or brought about in the mind of anyone or in a laboratory. He has always existed and always will. God remembered his promise already made back to Adam and Eve, a promise for all mankind, that he would send a Savior to rescue mankind, humankind, from the mess they got themselves into. The I Am God, who was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That name would get the Israelites' attention. That name would be the proof that Moses needed. And the Lord God would give Moses even more proof to assure the children of Israel that God indeed had not forgotten them. That he always intended to rescue them from their miserable condition there in Egypt. But when the time was right, there are so many lessons for us still today from this account, aren't there? Now, the Lord may not call you and me and grab our attention when we're walking in our neighborhood or somewhere else with a bush on fire that's not being consumed. But he does grab our attention in multiple ways, different for each one of us. And by grabbing our attention, he points us, though, back to the same source, himself. He takes us back to his word, and where his word reveals his rescue mission. The Lord knows of our misery. He knows the impact sin has had in our lives and continues to do so. And at the proper time, he sent a rescuer. And so through that word that he directs our attention back to, he points out who that rescuer is and what he has done for us. It was the same rescuer that was promised to the children of Israel, that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and promised to Adam and Eve. It's the same rescuer that you and I are to share with the generations to come. Because as long as this world exists, we will have to deal with the impacts of sin in our life. Even we as Christians will have to deal with the impacts, the consequences of sin in this world. Maybe not fair from our point of view, but we didn't write the book. And again, if we had it so easy in this life, where would we not want to go? But that's not why God sends and allows misery in our life. But he can use that misery and the consequences, the impact of sin, to remind us of his great rescue mission, of his compassion, of his grace, of his mercies, fresh and new each and every day, and what he wants for us, not just now while we live here on this earth, but what he wants for us for all eternity. Because we can say with the Apostle Paul, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. But because we think these present sufferings are all that and everything else, we get all caught up in pointing the finger at God. You need to rescue me now. You need to relieve me of this. Not keeping in mind that through all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. God can use the impact of sin to grab our attention and the attention of others and point them through us where they need to be pointed to. Back to the rescuer. It's not in this life that we are to be so comfortable, but rather in the life that God has prepared for us through Christ Jesus. And it's because we know that is coming, we, by the grace of God, can endure the impact of sin that we face day in and day out now. Why should people believe you when you point them to God's amazing grace and the rescue mission that He wants you to share? Because it's not going to be in our eloquent speech that people are going to be convinced. We could do all sorts of signs and, yeah, we might get their attention, but that is not going to convince them. It all goes back to the Word itself, which is living and active. And so we stay focused on sharing the Word, the law of God, that there is sin in the world, and with sin comes consequences. The wages of sin is death. All fall short of the glory of God and cannot rescue themselves from our sin and its impact. But we go on to emphasize we are justified by grace through faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. We use the Word of God because it is the Word of God which is the power to change lives, just as it has changed our lives. How else can you explain the impact of Moses? I mean, he was afraid. I'm not going back, Lord. But he went back and he did the job well done, good and faithful servant. How do you explain the Apostle Paul, chief of sinners, once persecutor of Christians, and now, rightly so, labored the greatest apostle of all time? How do you explain Matthew, a tax collector, a sinner, becoming a disciple of Jesus and writing a gospel letter? It wasn't because of them, but the one who called them. How do you explain you confessing Jesus as Lord? Only by the grace of God. So let us give thanks for God's grace in our life. The grace that has been evident all throughout history. Evident in the fact that God has rescued us from our sins and delivered us into His righteousness. And then let us also give thanks for God's grace that He equips us to help in His mission of bringing all people to a knowledge of the truth about sin and grace for their eternal good. Just as He equipped Moses and Paul and Matthew and countless others throughout history to help him in that mission. And how amazing it is that God uses us in that mission, which He Himself could absolutely do. But He gives us the privilege and the opportunity to help out. And He does equip us through our worship. He equips us through Bible studies. He equips us through our devotions. He equips us through conversations with people. He equips us. Maybe we get in a conversation with someone who is contesting what we have to say about the Bible. But God can even use that conversation to equip us for the next conversation. Because that conversation, which we may not have the answers for, can lead us back to the Bible, lead to other people who are knowledgeable in the Bible and say, "Equip us, Lord." Directly and indirectly. Equip us so that we are prepared to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that we have. Even as the streets are burning and businesses are failing, we don't want any of that. But we may not be able to stop it as a consequence of sin in this world. But we can remind ourselves and others that this is not all there is. And this is not what we need to focus our eyes on. We need to keep our eyes focused on the cross and what that has done for us and means for us, and focused on what is yet to come. For as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, let us not look behind. You don't do that when you're running a race, but keep your eyes looking forward. And that's what we're here to do, to continually be encouraged to keep our eyes looking forward, knowing that we have been rescued already. He doesn't need to come again to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus did that already. He now prepares us for what is yet to come. And so through the trials and impacts of sin in this world, He sharpens us and keeps us prepared. Not just for ourselves to be ready when that day comes of His return or our meeting Him face to face, but that we can help others be prepared. Can you do it? By the grace of God, you can, and you have been. Give thanks for God's grace in your life, the grace that has rescued you from your sins, and the grace that keeps this world going, because outside of His grace, this world would fall apart even more so. But He has His reasons for allowing what is going on and keeping this world going for a little bit more. And then give thanks for the fact that God equips us day in and day out through His Word to help Him in His mission to bring others to see His grace for what it is, and celebrate that with us now and for all eternity. What strange sight will remind you of God's grace today and going forward? Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now speak our confession of faith. It's found on page 9 of the bulletin. We join together. We all believe in one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever-present help in need, praised by all the heavenly hosts, by whose mighty power alone all is made and wrought and done. We all believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, who descended from His throne and for us salvation won, by whose cross and death are we rescued from all misery. We all confess the Holy Spirit, who from both forever proceeds, who upholds and comforts us in all trials, fears, and needs. Blessed Holy Trinity, hear our praise eternally. Amen. During this time when we'd have our thank offering, again, thank you for your faithful, generous gifts online, through the mail, or directly in the offering plate as you enter or leave our house of worship. To God be the glory as He gives us the opportunity through these gifts to show our thanks for His grace in our life and to use those gifts to share His grace with others. Let's continue with the prayer of the church. Grant us, Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise You, the eternal God, for You govern all things, and we are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of Your peace, where there is hatred, where there is injury, where there is doubt, where there is despair, where there is darkness, where there is sadness. O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is a giving that we receive, it is a hardening that we are hardened, and it is a dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, with your love, our love renew. Bring physical healing to Vicki Underwood, Deb Craigle, Bill Haffill, and others who are currently in need of medical treatment. Bring about the healing in your time, and in the meantime, continue to lift them up in faith. Bring healing to the people of this world, spiritual, physical, and emotional, as we deal with the impacts of COVID, hatred, stress, self-centered agendas, and more. Move us as disciples of Jesus to be the salt and light you have called us to be, showing respect and love, which may at times come off as tough love, as we strive to speak the truth of your law with the goal of speaking the truth of your gospel. Help us remember that what happens in this lifetime is temporary in comparison to what comes after this life on earth. Keep us glorifying your name, growing in your grace, and going out with your gospel. Your love, Lord, for our life is evident in multiple ways. For those celebrating a birthday this week, continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives, and continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. Now hear us, Lord, as we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our next hymn, Chief of Sinners, Though I Be. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Just to highlight a few announcements, we are looking at the Gospel of Matthew in our Bible study this morning. It will start at 9:30 here in the church proper. For those of you who have attended this service and you won't be staying for the 10:45 service, I mean, you are free to go out and then come back and use those 8 o'clock rows so that when people come for the 10:45 service, they can be seated right away in those pews. The family Sunday school is on hiatus for a couple weeks. Just keep that in mind. Again, all the Bible study links and handouts are also online. You can find them on the website under that Staying Connected to God's Word link or through that email that gets sent out each week. We welcome our new teacher in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, Hannah Stegman. We are doing a welcome gift card for her. In the entryway there is a basket for those cards to be placed. You can also mail them in to the church office and just make a note, this is for the new teacher. One of the ways that you can purchase those gift cards, if you're so moved to do so, is through our script program. Now, you can go to our weekly news, also contact the church office, talk to Linda Haffill about more information about the script program. Basically, let's say you want to buy something from Lowe's, you're going to buy a lawnmower, you could buy a script card for $250, right? And then you go to Lowe's, you got actually $250. Thankfully, through the script program, we get a percentage, sometimes 2, 4, or more percent back through the sale of that gift card. Now, that's for gas cards. There's grocery stores a part of that, restaurants. There's even the online ability to get script cards. So you might be at Chili's and going, oh, I should have bought a script card. Oh, well, I can use my online script card program. Same deal. You purchase a $50 script card because you really love Chili's food that much, and so you use that $50 script card, you got $50. We thankfully get a percentage of that sale. So it's a good way, honest way, to help out our school through that script. Again, you're not forced to buy anything that way, but just keep it as an option. Again, if you have questions on how to get cards, we do keep some on hand, but you can also order them in a timely fashion. Contact Linda Haffill. And another way to show thanks for our staff, the Bengals left for Minnesota this past week. We wish them Godspeed as they go. We want to show our thanks to the Bengals for their years of service. Keep in mind there'll be an opportunity to express that thanks, again, through a gift card or a note of thanks. If you want to express your thanks to them, your appreciation, by way of a gift card or some other gift or just a card, you can direct that to the church office and then just write, "This is for the Bengals," and we'll make sure that gets forwarded to their new place. Just keep that in mind. Again, if you write a check, for example, and you write it to St. Mark's, let us know that so that we can address that properly and not send a check to the Bengals addressed to St. Mark's. A little difficult for him to cash. Again, we'll try to get a note out regarding how to process our thanks for the Bengals and also to welcome Hannah some more. Just a reminder, summer events are on hiatus as well right now due to COVID. That includes the JOL Bible study. Some of the things on the church calendar haven't been removed for the summer. But so if you see in a bulletin, again, just those events during the week are most likely on hiatus. Bulletins, you can recycle yours in the recycle bins there, or you can take it home and digest it. On the back part of the bulletin, there are further reflections based on the scripture readings. You can use that as your personal Bible study or share that with somebody you want to hear. You want them to hear the Word of God. Fellowship outside, beautiful day outside to fellowship. You can use our beautiful patio. You can hang out in the parking lot. Just don't get run over. You usher yourselves out today. We'll start from the back and work our way to the front. Other than that, check out the weekly news that gets sent out. There are copies, hard copies there in the entryway. Have a great day and week in the Lord. His mercies are fresh and new each and every day. Give thanks for that. Thank you.